Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Yeah, come on, give God a shout tonight. Come on, come on, come on, give God a shout. Come on, let the devil hear it. Come on, Jesus, we thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and in our lives tonight. Jesus' name. Nothing like church on a Sunday night. Man, nothing like church on a Sunday night. Most people will come in the morning because it's the routine. They say, I'm going to check it off my list. But the 5 p.m. people, the ones that get a little extra dose of the Holy Ghost. You know how you feel a difference? When you feel it, you're walking, man, what I feel a difference at this service. The reason you feel a difference is because the ones that come here have an expectation, have a dependency. I need it. God, I need you to show up. I'm expecting you to move. I'm believing that something is about to happen. The best thing you can come with is an expectation and a hunger saying, God, I'm ready. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm fired up for you to show up and do what you've never done before. So come on, I want you to lift your hands right now. We're going to lift our hands. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to spend 60 seconds with the team, and we're going to cry out for God to do something that he's never done before. We're going to believe that tonight's going to change everything. Tonight's going to change everything in your marriage. Tonight's going to change everything in your family. Tonight's going to change everything in your past. Tonight's going to change everything around you. Doesn't matter what you walked in here carrying. Our God is bigger than whatever burden you got on your shoulders right now. He is greater than any mistake that you might have made in your life. Come on, we're going to believe. We're not crying out for a God that can't do the impossible. We're crying out to a God who raises the dead. We're crying out to a God who opens up the eyes of the blind. We're crying out to a God that opens up the ears of people who cannot hear. We're crying out to a God who specializes in the resurrection of things that were lost. God, tonight we cry out to you. God, our hearts cry out. Our spirit cries out. Our soul cries out for you to do the impossible, for you to move like you never moved. God, tonight, show up. Change us. Move in this place in Jesus' name. Come on, spend 60 seconds right now going after God, going after him.
Thank you. worship him like you believe it. Come on, come on, Jesus. Oh, what a powerful name it is. Thank you, God. Come on, let it shift in your spirit. Come alive tonight. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Colby, lift your hands. If you don't know Colby, she's one of the most incredible people in the world. She's so funny. She's so funny. But Colby, this is what I saw for your life. I know we're in the middle of the Winter Olympics right now, so they might be messing with the prophetic, but it is what it is. It'll be good. But I saw a picture of an ice skater. Of an ice skater. And I saw the first was like a struggle. Like a struggle to get going, a struggle to move, a struggle to do anything. Almost like trying to walk on ice skates. You're not meant to walk on ice skates. You're meant to glide on ice skates. And then I saw it transition into a glide, into a smooth glide. And it was like effortless. And I saw that in a picture of what God's going to take you through right now. From what seems like, man, I feel like I'm stumbling. I feel like I can't move to an ease and a glide. In fact, just come forward with Isaac. Lift your hands. I just feel the presence of God, the anointing of God on you guys. An ease. And God says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. He is with you. And this will be a season. In fact, I see people even looking at you saying, how can they just walk through that? How can they just walk through that? It's going to be a testament to the goodness and the power of God. God who is not dead, who is not done, but is alive in you. And Isaac, I see the greatest, your testimony is unbelievably powerful, but I actually see the greatest testimony is still yet to be seen. The greatest miracle is still yet to be seen in your life and through your hands. Come on, stretch your hands out to this couple. I see this year is a year of exceedingly, abundantly above. Right now, in Jesus' name, let an impartation come on the inside of them. For this powerful woman of God, let the power of God flow through her. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for what you're doing. And then there's a lady up in the back next to the guy in the red shirt. You're directly to his left. Yeah, that's you with the black shirt on. Yeah, just lift your hands. Yeah, you, yeah. Maybe it's blue, I can't tell. But yeah, that's you with your hands up. Just lift your hands. During the Book of Miracles, I saw you with your hands up. And I saw that cry of I need God. I need him to show up. I have this quote on my phone that I look at all the time. It says this. It says, when you come to the end of yourself, you find the beginning of God. And I see you coming to the end of yourself. I've tried everything. I've done everything. In your own strength, with your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your own power. And you think, what else can I do? And God just wants you to know that you can just trust in him. Because when you come to the end of yourself, you find the beginning of him. And he's going to give you strength. He's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to take you through. That's why David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God's with you. He's for you. He hasn't left you. He's right beside you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, team. Appreciate it. Can we put our hands together for the worship team? You can take your seat. As you take your seat, why don't you turn to somebody and tell them they're a work in progress? I know you've been waiting to say that, especially if you're married. You're like, yes, I've been feeling it. It's not a prophetic word if you tell your spouse, just so you know. I feel like God is leading me to say that you're a work in progress. Cancel! Nah, just kidding, you are. We all are. We all are a work in progress. Let me read this for you. Isaiah, I didn't give the guys the scripture, but you can write it down as soon as I find Isaiah. Anybody know where it is? I think it's right after, it's going to be in here somewhere if I just keep turning. There we go, found it. Isaiah. Hey, you know what was funny? It's our relationship series, and I was actually thinking, and I don't know if it was God or just me, but sometimes you can't tell. It's real talk. So I was thinking, like, man, it'd be kind of fun if somebody was in here who was about to propose, but was like trying to plan how to propose, and we just create an opportunity for them to do it right now. Now it might not be anybody. I don't know. It might not be anybody, but I just figured, why don't we just like give it a go and just see if there's somebody. You got to have a ring, though. If you don't got a ring, you can't propose. You got to have the ring with you. I mean, that's when we know it's a sign from God. If you got the ring and you need to propose, you got 5 seconds. 5 seconds before God leaves and your blessing departs. Do you want to propose under an open heaven? It's right here, right now. All right, you missed out. Pastor John was going to prophesy, pray. Pastor Kenny and Ashley were going to give you money for your wedding, but it's all right, man. Do it on the beach, whatever. Might be more romantic, but yeah. Pastor John had a word. All right. Isaiah chapter 61. Man, that would have been so perfect. Guess it was me. All right. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I believe today I'm going to preach for a few minutes, but more than that, I believe that God wants to do what we just read. He wants to heal some brokenhearted people. He wants to turn your mourning into dancing. He wants to change the trajectory of your life right now. He wants to change what's been happening, what's been going on in your world. You guys have had some of the greatest, in fact, I think the greatest teaching on relationships and dating over the last couple weeks from Pastor Jurgen, Pastor John, Pastor Becky, Pastor Leanne, who are really second to none when it comes to relationships and being a Christian. You guys have heard that, and if you haven't heard it, you can podcast it, download it, get it. But I also think there's a spiritual dynamic that sometimes we just have to step into. We just have to break free from. We have to get these things off of our life, and I believe tonight God wants to do that. He wants to set some people free. He wants to set some people free who you've been holding something for way too long. And I know didn't we have Freedom Weekend? Yeah, but I find that I got to get free a little bit more than once a year. Takes a little bit more than one time a year to really get free. It's like washing something that's been stained for a whole lot of time. Takes a little bit of work sometimes. You got to get that piece of gum off your foot. And so that's what we're going to do. And I believe as you're sitting here tonight, God's going to start working in your heart. He's going to start working in your spirit. He's going to start doing something in your life. And he's going to reveal something that you thought you were healed from. You thought you were good from. You thought you didn't need help with that thing. In fact, there's a lot of people in here right now, and you've covered it so often that you don't even know it's an issue anymore. There's a story in the Bible of
of these people walking down a road, and they were on their way to a city. And on the way to the city, in front of them, a man had died. A man had died, and they left him in the road, and they had covered him. They covered him and left him in the road. And as the people came by, they saw the man covered, and they stopped. And the Bible says they would not continue because of the man that was there. They could not continue. And so what they had to do, they had to take the man that had laid down, they had covered, and they had to remove him from the sight of the people who were walking. Until they removed him, they would not continue. I wonder how many times in our life we cover what we're meant to remove. We just cover over what we're actually meant to get rid of. Now, there's some hurts. I know that if you were to search your heart deep down inside, you're upset at your mom, your dad, your wife, your husband, your friends. There's something that's happening in you right now, and you've covered it. You've covered it, but it's still hurting you on the inside. You can't actually get to the place that God has for you. You can't actually get to that destination that God has for you because that thing is in the way. That thing is messing with you. You can't have the marriage that you want. You can't have the life that you want. You can't have that relationship that you want because you've just covered what you're meant to get rid of. So we need to get rid of that thing tonight. And I find this, that's kind of a two-part process. I got to admit it. I got to know, yes, I got some stuff in my life that I need to get free from. And then I got to walk forward and get somebody to join with me in prayer and say, I'm going to agree with you and that you don't have to have that thing anymore. That thing that's keeping you from living the life that God has for you. So I told you the title of this message was A Work in Progress. A work in progress, because all of us are a work in progress. Especially dudes. Especially husbands. Like when you're a dude and when you're a husband, you're a massive work in progress. Like you don't really realize how jacked up you are until you get married. Before you get married, you know everything. You're like it, man. You're the thing. Like I'm good. I'm gonna be the man. And then you get married and you realize that you're messed up. Can I want to read you. I found these tweets on the internet, which can be a bad thing or a really good thing. These are this one's from a husband that so many of us can relate to. He says this. He says, marriage is mostly about knowing which hand towels you can use and which ones are for the better people who visit your wife's home. Because you know if you're a husband, you're not good enough for those fancy towels. Don't you put your greasy hands on those towels. You don't even work with grease, but you're dirty. You work in an office, but you come home, you're dirty. That's real life. Another husband, he says this. He says, before I got married, I didn't even know there was a wrong way to put the milk back in the fridge. Me neither, bro. It's messed up. All right, here's a awkward date tweet. It says this. I once took a girl to Starbucks because I forgot her name. It's pretty bad, but also pretty smart. If you think about it. What did he call her on the way to Starbucks, though? Like, oh, girl. All right. Hey, listen, you're a redneck, right? Well, here's you know you're dating a redneck. She says, he took me to a frog jump festival. It's not a bad idea. She said we had to leave early because his wife showed up and she has a restraining order on him. This is real life, people. There's some dudes in here right now. You're convicted because you have tickets to a frog jumping festival right now. Like, you mean you don't want to go? Now, I'll preach a whole message. And you'll get home and you'll ask your wife, so should I throw those tickets away? Or are we still good? Yeah, dudes are nuts. We're crazy. All right, I'm gonna give you a couple more because they're just so good. This one is a first date from hell. This is what he said on the first date. Oh, from your photo, I thought you were too good for me. I'm glad to see that you've got flaws. Then he listed them. These people need to be at C3 Church. Okay, now here's a good one. This one is actually a girl. One in a million. Every once in a while, a woman messes up something. He says, my date was complaining about me on Facebook while at the table. I found out because she accidentally tagged me in the post. You ever done that? You ever sent a text message to somebody that you're complaining about? To that person? Just me? Perfect. All right, you know you're on a first date with the redneck. When at the end of the night, he leaned in for a kiss, whispering, "Don't be scared if my tooth falls out." Ah, it's amazing. So, now that's that. We all got our own stories, though, right? We all got our own stories. Like when I married my wife, and some of you have heard this story before. I'm going to tell it again and tell a couple other ones. When I married my wife, we went to Cabo for our honeymoon, and if you've ever been to Cabo, it's the greatest thing ever. You're in a pool, drinking drinks, and hanging out, and just relaxing on your honeymoon. It's incredible. About day three, we're having such a great time walking back up to our room, and Brianna has a smile on her face, and you've seen how beautiful she is, so I'm smiling at the same time. And then I made a mistake saying, "Babe, this is so fun. This has been incredible. But think how much more fun it would be if all our friends were here." This is on our honeymoon. It was at that moment she started crying, and I proceeded to make it worse by asking her, what's wrong? "I thought you liked people? Guess not." I'm not even kidding. So I did that another time, maybe 3 or 4 months after we were married. We were driving to church at Central Campus, and you know, like girls do, right? So they'll spend 2 hours in the mirror doing their hair just to redo it in the car on the way to church. I don't understand what that's about, but you do it all the time. So she did her hair and then was redoing it on the way to church, and you could tell that she's, you know, flustered a little bit. And then right before we got to church, she said, "Oh, how's my hair look?" And I thought I was giving her a compliment when I told her that it looked great. It looked like a peacock. I thought that's what she wanted to hear. I mean, have you seen a peacock? They're beautiful. Like the whole, but I guess it didn't mean something good. Yeah. So all you guys out there, learn from that. Learn from that. Or like we do, which I've done about a billion times, is one time we were in the heat of an argument. And I don't even remember what we were arguing about, but it was one of the real ones, you know, one of the ones that you're actually meant to engage in that conversation until it's done. The one that the Bible says, don't go to sleep. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Well, I didn't let the sun set, but I did fall asleep in the middle of the argument. Needless to say, it didn't make it better. Needless to say, it wasn't the only time I fell asleep in the middle of an argument. But I figured, let's just not argue in the bed. It's your fault. No? All right. Anyways, there's millions of that. Like when our kids are crying and she leans over to try to get my attention, I pretend like I'm asleep. Pretty sure that was last night. Yeah. See, I'm still learning. Pastor John's trying to teach me right now. There are some things you don't say. That was it. Perfect. I could no longer pull that one. Let me get a little bit of wisdom to all the guys. When your wife asks when you're going to be home, tell her 2 hours after you're supposed to be. And you know you will be. Because then when you get home early, you're the best. You're the man. You're the man. So you know what we like to do? We're like, "Oh, no, it's only going to be like 3 hours, and I'll be home at 11, but you know you're going to be home at 1? Just tell her 3. You'll be cool. Yeah. All right, let's move on. So that's a little bit of relationship wisdom there. But we've been married. We'll be 10 years in September. September 27th. Past. Our oldest is born on September 24th, so I get him. I I get them confused. Yeah, I get them confused. What's the big deal? So September 27th, 10 years married. For those of you who know the story, I met my wife in a church before this church, and we dated for 8 weeks. 6 of those 8 weeks, I was on a ship in the Pacific Ocean, laying my life down for my country. When I got home, I took her to SeaWorld. On the way home from SeaWorld, after a day at SeaWorld, seeing Shamu, the horses that are at SeaWorld, which I don't know why, but spending the day at SeaWorld, on the way home from SeaWorld, she breaks up with me, and then I proceeded to spend the next 4.5 years pursuing her, till finally she gave in and realized that I'm the only one for her. So we got engaged, not at church, but you should if you're still in here. We got engaged 2.5 months later. We got married, and now it's almost been 10 years, baby, which is a miracle if you know me. So, all right. With that said, what I'm trying to say is we are a work in progress. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. This is what Paul's saying. He says, "Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." See, I realized and thought that because I was in church and because I was a Christian, that marriage would be a cinch. That the struggling marriages are for the ones that don't know God. That the struggling relationships are for the people that aren't in church, the people that don't know God, the people that aren't filled with the power of God. I thought that those were reserved for all the heathens out there. That's what I thought until I got married. And then I realized a few different lessons when I got married that it's not as easy as I thought. I realized that when I got married that nobody's actually perfect. That nobody's perfect. And I'm not just talking about myself, but I'm talking about the person that you're married to as well. We have this realization that they're perfect, and then when we get married, we see a flaw. When we see a flaw, we capitalize on the flaw, and all we do is look at the flaw, and we end up letting the flaw ruin the relationship because we're so fixated on something because we thought we were marrying somebody perfect. And we live that life. And so I realized this, that in the first few years of marriage, that even though she's as close to as perfect as you can get, there are still some things that she's walking through. There are still some things that they're dealing with. And it's not like my junk, but it is some issues. And now you have to understand that nobody is perfect in the relationship that you might be in. Now those of you who aren't married who just checked out, you got to check back in because I'm about to save you a whole lot of tears, crying, therapy, counseling sessions. I'm saving you so much. Just learn from me, okay? I realized that nobody was perfect. See, if I constantly focus on what the person doesn't do or doesn't have, I will only always see the bad about them. And so I realized that my wife was beautiful, my wife was perfect, my wife was gorgeous, but I was sitting in front of a counselor asking the counselor, "I know she is, why can't I see it?" That's real life. I know she is, why can't I see it? And they proceeded to tell me, because all you're doing is focusing on what she's not doing or what she's not good at or what her flaws are, and the flaws have now dominated everything good about her. No matter how small or insignificant they could be, because they were, they dominated everything. So I had to realize that nobody was perfect. Second lesson I learned was this. I learned that what I don't deal with before marriage will actually grow in marriage. What you don't deal with before marriage will actually grow in marriage. If you got something that's happening now, most of us go to the sexual side of things, which is actually absolutely true. If you don't fix that brokenness and dysfunction on the inside of you when it comes to the sexual side of things, then that thing is going to be highlighted in marriage. But I'm talking about every issue and everything. I'm talking about whatever little thing that you dealt with before marriage. When you get married, that thing will be highlighted. The little bit of an anger problem that you have, if we don't deal with that, that thing will be highlighted. That frustration, that anxiety, that worry, whatever it is, that fear, that thing will be highlighted in marriage. We have to deal with those things before marriage. How do we deal with them before marriage? We got to surround ourselves with the lesson I learned. I have to surround myself with people that won't tell me what I want to hear, but what I need to hear. We have to surround ourselves with people that will tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. We went to a premarital class, and we were, I think, maybe pastors. We were doing something in the church at this point. And because we were kind of elevated in a position of leadership, they thought that we were good. And I didn't want to tell them that I wasn't, because they thought I was in a position of leadership. But what ends up happening is, because they didn't go there with me, we ended up having to deal with it once we got married. And it's a whole lot harder dealing with it when you get married. You can't just withdraw on your own and deal with your stuff. Now you actually have to take care of somebody. Now you're joined with somebody. And now whatever you're going through affects them, because the two became one. And so you have to understand that you got to deal with that thing, whatever it is. Now, can I be real? Whatever it is, that pornography addiction, you got to deal with that thing now. You getting married and having sex is not going to fix that thing. It's going to escalate it, and it will ruin and rob your marriage. You got to beat that thing right now. Now's the time. But you can't do it unless you surround yourself with people who will tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. People that can look into your soul and say, here, this is what you need to know. I thank God for my pastors, because one time Pastor Jurgen sat me down. Brianna was there. He sat me down. He's talking to us about our marriage, and he said this. He said, it's time for you to man up. Just call me out. I'm like, I thought I was a man. Like, I grew up in the woods. I got guns. I shoot things. I don't shower for a couple days. I thought I was a man. And he's telling me it's time for you to man up. It's time for you to start dealing with some things in your life. It's time for you to pull those things up, because if you don't, it will ruin the marriage that you have. Now listen, I know that's for some married people right now, but there's for some other people who are not married yet, who are dating, and you got some stuff. You got some stuff that you're dealing with and walking with, and I'm telling you, that person, no matter how great they are, have you seen my wife? She's amazing, but she could not fix my issues. Marrying her could not fix my issues. It highlighted them. Doesn't matter how perfect that is. Doesn't matter if you marry Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. We have some things in our world that we got to pull out and let God heal. Pull those things out. Surround yourself with some leaders, some connect leaders. If you're not in a connect group, you got to get in a connect group, because our connect group leaders will pull that thing out of you. If you're not signed up for Emerge, you better sign up for Emerge. But I know how dudes are, right? Oh, it's just not my thing. Oh, no, I'm not into that kind of emotional thing. I'm a hard dude. You're not hard. You're not hard. You're not tough. I know what tough dudes look like. That's not tough. I've been around them. I know a lot of them who've done some crazy things. That's not hard. It's not hard when you say you don't need anybody. You know what's hard? What's hard is when you expose yourself. And you go to a man, you say, listen, I need help. Here's a weakness in me. Here's an issue in me. I need help. Can you help me with this thing? That's a hard dude. That's a tough dude. That's an Emerge man. That's what that is. But we end up doing this, and I know I should be giving you points. I'm saying my points through while I'm preaching, so just write it all down, okay? Or just re-podcast it and put whatever points where you want points to be, if you're that kind of organized person. You make up your points. It's your points today. Freedom. So, but we end up saying this, oh, well, it's just not my personality type. And we all take these personality tests. And I love personality tests. They help us lead people, understand people better. But we put ourselves in a box because we think our personality test will determine our future. We put ourselves in this box saying, listen, that's just not me. I just can't go to a counselor. I just can't talk about my feelings. I can't just go on dates. It's not my personality type. It's not how I was raised. Well, you got to change that. You got to change some things in your world. Listen, the disciples, if they took a personality test, you want to know what it would have said? Fishermen. Born fishermen. Going to fish for fish and catch them all. Or Luke, doctor. That's his personality type. That's what the paper said, all the tests said, all the experts said. But Jesus shows up. He shows up to the people who had different personality tests, And he said, follow me and I will make you become something and somebody you never thought or imagined you could be. See, Jesus is in the process of making us become somebody that we never thought or imagined we could be. But unless you put yourself in that position, unless you leave your net, that place of security, the place of income, the place of safety, unless you leave that thing and follow after Jesus, you'll never fully step into the God calling and the future and the destiny that you have. Tonight is a night where we leave those things behind. Man, show me how hard you are. Show me how tough you are by running to the altar and saying, I need help. That's the kind of person that God is looking for. You think you're tough? You know King David? King David killed like 400 Philistines and circumcised them. And then put them in a backpack or something. Carrying around foreskins in his backpack to King Saul. King Saul asked for 200. David's hard. He gives him 400. That's a real dude. And then he cries. David's all throughout Psalms, David's crying. I'm like, bro, I thought you were hard. And he's like, yeah, I am. But we have this messed up view of what it means to be tough, what it means to be a man, what it means to be, and we hide our feelings. A team can come up. We don't talk about it. So I learned in my marriage that my personality type cannot determine my fruitfulness in my marriage. My personality type cannot be an excuse for why my marriage cannot flourish. Well, I just don't like to do that. Well, too bad. You better start. I love Billy Graham. Somebody asked Billy Graham once, and you might know this story. He had been married for so many years, and they asked him, he says, Billy, what happens if you fall out of love with your wife? What will happen if that ever takes place? He says, if I ever fall out of love with my wife, he says, I will get down on my knees, and I will stay there until the love returns. Now, that's the life I want to live. I want to live and I want to have that example. I realize that abstaining from sex is not abstaining from trouble. Brandon and I were virgins when we got married. Waited our whole life. In fact, I had a girl in high school walked up to me. I was a freshman in high school. She walked up to me. She says, I'm going to take your virginity. She did that to me in high school. Dude, when you're a freshman in high school and a girl does that to you, that's like the greatest temptation of your life. But I remember God protected me because I made a decision that I was going to pay now so I could play later. But I came to find out that things, they followed me into my marriage. They followed me into my relationships. And now I had to deal with and pull that thing up. So what I'm trying to get at tonight is we got to stop covering some things and we got to get it out of our life. We got to get it out of our world. We got to get that thing healed from. I'm not just talking about marriages. I'm talking about friendships. Man, this, how many BFFs can you have? It's like every week you got a new BFF because somebody let you down, because somebody hurt your feelings, because somebody talked bad about you, whatever. And we end up not having any of those people in our world, in our life. I remember my best friend growing up, I was doing something that I shouldn't do, and he called me out on it. He called me out on it. It hurt. It hurt my pride. It hurt my feelings. But I loved him. I loved him because he had the guts enough to call me out on something I shouldn't be doing. You're going to see that the longer you sit at C3 San Diego, the longer and the more you're going to realize that the leaders, the team, the pastors will call you out on some things. But not to hurt you, to help you. And that's what God wants to do. I realize that comparison will rob me of contentment. Comparison will rob you. Well, I wish I had a marriage like them. How do you know what their marriage is like? Well, I wish I was married to them, because if I was married to them, everything would be different. How do you know that? Like Pastor Jurgen says, everywhere you go, you take you with you. Well, if they were different, everything, how do you know God's not looking at you trying to change you? You can't change them, just change you. Just work on yourself. Work on being that person that God has called you to be and watch what's going to take place. We can't compare our lives to somebody else, or compare our wives to somebody else's, or compare our husbands to somebody else's, because they're not yours. God has given you somebody. God has given you somebody in your life. I'm about to finish, and then we're going to pray for some people, and we're going to get some healing and get some breakthrough tonight. It's Surround yourself with people that will ask you the difficult questions. Here's a good one, one I'm walking through right now. Your wife or your husband can be your best friend, just not your only friend. They're my best friend. They're my best friend. Good. Just don't let them be your only. That's why merge, men's prayer, all those things are so important, because you can come and you can expose yourself. You can say, I need help. I'm walking through this woman's prayer on a Thursday. I know there's other things you could be doing. There's just not other things as important or as powerful. Cherish, emerge, my city, society, what prime, whatever it is. We don't put things on because we're a church and we have to have ministries. We have things because we realize we have pastors that care so much for you, that they want your heart to get healed. They want you to get whole. They want you to get freedom. They want you to get breakthrough. They care so much for you that we'll have uncomfortable conversations because we see on the inside of you is greatness. Life is too short to hold on to that stuff, to hold on to that stuff that might have been handed down to you from a previous generation. It might not be fair. Well, it's not fair that I'm dealing with this thing. It's not my fault. You're right, it's not your fault, but it's in your hands now. What are you gonna do? There are some things that I inherited. There are some things that I got, some jacked up relational things that I got. But I made a decision that I might have it, but I'm gonna end it. Because I don't want my kids. I don't want my kids to have the same thing. They got their own giants to face. Your kids got their own giants to face. Let them face those. Don't let them face yours. Beat them tonight. Fight them tonight. Break that thing tonight. They got their own struggles. Don't put yours on them. You're married or not, beat it now. 18-year-old, 19-year-old, now's the time. This is the moment. Come and just say, hey, here's the stuff I got. Here's the things that I'm dealing with. Last thing is this. Last thing I learned in almost 10 years of marriage is that if I stay in the fight, I'll stay away from being a statistic. We try to complicate it like it's a super secret of how we can stay away from being one of those statistics on the internet. But the more I've been in it, the more I realize that it's just about me staying in the fight. It's just about me getting up every single day when I'm jacked up, when I'm messed up, when I fell asleep in the middle of a fight, and I get back up, and little after little, time after time, I just make another step forward. A lot of us have this picture of perfection, and we see how far we are away from that thing of perfection, so we never end up walking towards it because it's so far away from us. But what we have to realize is God's not into perfection, He's into progress. God doesn't care about your perfection. He cares about your progress. He doesn't care about being that perfect specimen. He cares about you just taking another step every single day. So you might not be who you want to be, but you're not who you used to be. You have to understand it's about you moving forward. It's about you stepping out of where you are tonight. Tonight, it just might be you stepping from the back row to the front here. And you might not even know the words to say, but you know that you just got to move because it's about you just progressing. It's not about perfection. It's not about you knowing all the words. You don't got to go on the most elaborate date this week, but maybe you just got to say those three words, I love you. I don't know what it is for you, but I know there's something that all of us can work on right now, that all of us can do. Let me tell you this. I'm going to finish 1 minute. Sorry, I just saw the time. Jacob takes Esau's birthright in the Bible. If you read the story, it's a messed up relationship. Like the fact that when his brother was starving, Jacob bartered with him for his birthright for a cup of freaking lentil stew that I wouldn't eat when I'm starving. After a 40-day fast, I'm like, you can keep your lentil stew. I'll drink water. Like, you have to question, why did he even have to ask his brother for stew when he was starving to begin with? They had a messed up relationship. He was afraid of his brother because Esau left there after Isaac blessed Jacob. Esau left saying, I hate my brother. I'm going to kill my brother. So Jacob lived in fear of his brother. Then he heard in Genesis, he heard that he was coming towards him with, I think, 200 men were coming towards his brother. So he was in fear, sent his kids over the river before him, and Jacob stayed. And that's when the famous story of Jacob turning around and wrestling with God. And he wrestled with God all night, and God dislocated his hip. Because all of us have to have a life that limps, that knows that we've been with God. And he touches his hip, and now Jacob limps, and then God renames him from Jacob to Israel. One who struggles with God and prevails. He renames him Israel. And then after he has this encounter with the power and the presence of God, he wakes up the next day and his brother's coming towards him. The last thing he knew about his brother is that he wants to kill him. And Jacob goes to meet his brother. And he bows down 7 times, the Bible says. And as he does, his brother runs towards him. And Jacob, or Israel this time, thinks for sure his brother's going to kill him. And his brother runs to him and embraces him and kisses him and loves him. And a relationship that was torn apart now gets reconnected. All from one night with God. God changes his identity and then changes his relationships. Because you wrestle with God. So tonight, I don't know what it is that you're dealing with or what you're walking through. But I know that the first step is just you running to God. How tough you are, how hard you are, how perfect you are. Just going to him. So why don't we stand to our feet? I apologize for not giving a ton of time for you to get prayed for, but we're going to end with, I'm going to have the ministry team come forward. As the ministry team comes forward right now, they're going to stand here and they're going to be here to pray with you. And I want you just to do this. As you're standing there tonight, and as you heard that message, I want you to think in your heart, what is it? What's in there that you've been covering up that you need to get rid of? What is it that you're dealing with? What is it that you're walking through? What is it that is there? What relationship? Maybe you're married. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're dating. Maybe you're 18, 19, but you realize there's some things in you that, you know, if they're not dealt with now, they're going to get highlighted when you're married. Maybe you're 70 years old, been married for 50 years, and you've been living for 50 years with that stuff still covered up, and you know you want to get free from it. It's about finishing strong. Tonight you can finish strong. Tonight you can get healing. Tonight you can be made well. So we're just going to worship. We're going to sing. We're going to go after God. And I want you, if that's you at all, I want you just to make your way from your seat. And this team would love to pray with you. And this is the moment where you can get set free from that hurt, from that pain, from that thing that you're dealing with. So let me pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to come to get prayer. Come on, lift your hands. God, I thank you for every hand that's lifted. I thank you for every person that is in here. God, I thank you that they're not perfect, but God, they're going to make progress tonight. God, I pray for your hand, your power, for a radical encounter with you to happen tonight. God, that you're going to shift some things. You're going to change some things in their life. God, I pray for every man who's struggling with something that they've had since they were 5 years old. God, I thank you that tonight it ends. Tonight it ends. Tonight is that moment where they get set free from that thing that's been haunting them, from that thing that's been on them, from that burden that's been attached to them. God, tonight is the night where they break free. Tonight is the night where everything changes for their life. God, I thank you for that woman who's struggling in that marriage and doesn't know where to turn. God, tonight you would give her strength. Tonight you would give her a renewed hope. Tonight you would give her a place to stand on and say, no, I haven't even begun to fight. I'm not doubting. I'm not disbelieving. I'm just beginning to fight and believe that God is going to restore everything that the enemy has taken. 7 times 7, that everything that's been taken from me will be restored. God, every person who is dating, God, that they would be resolved to say, it ends with me. It stops with me. I'm going to fight the good fight right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the power of God fall on every life and on every heart in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.